5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, this is not first class.
Circus! Afro Circus! Afro Circus! Afro
Welcome to The Clown Car, a parenting podcast where a mom
and a dad
talk about what it's like being the ringleaders in our own circus.
We are not professionals. The only credentials we have are four kids, so do your research and find what works for you.
Hello, fellow ringleaders. We are your hosts, Crystal
and Barry
Riggs.
Yeah, woo, yeah. So we are back.
And we're starting really, really late.
We are late, but we will explain why we are recording late.
Well, we could explain now, because it's not really story of the week.
Oh, well, sure. we started a puzzle last week.
Last Sunday.
Oh, so last week.
Last Sunday, and it's Sunday again.
It's been a week.
I'm just reiterating.
But, and we decided to, we wanted our table cleared off, but we didn't want to just put the, well, I didn't just want to put the puzzle away. And so Crystal and I, we worked really hard and we finished that puzzle tonight.
We done did it!
We did it. So, you know, 1,000-piece puzzle.
I know. Never again will I ever attempt a 1,000-piece puzzle.
Yes, you will.
No.
We'll do it again.
I think 500 is my patience limit.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the next level.
Anyway.
Anyway, let's talk about our crazy circus.
It's time for the stories of the week.
So this is Stories of the Week, and yeah, let's do this. Let's talk about some of our crazy stuff that happened.
This week?
This week. In Stories of the Week.
Okay. I have another bathroom story.
Bathroom stories!
These have been more reoccurring now that the two older kids are in school. The other day, I got out some popsicle sticks, because the five-year-old asked if she could make stick puppets. So they're making stick puppets, coloring them, taping them together, and I just started sneaking off to the bathroom, because I had to go, and then I hear, wait! And of course it's Jackson, so he runs after me.
Our three-year-old.
And then Lacey's like, wait, I want to come! Just like how it is every time. And I get in the bathroom. The minute I sit down, Lacey's like, hey, I need you to fold this, and hands me a big strip of tape and wants me to do the little, you know, fold it up so it's sticky on both sides. And then Jackson thrusts a cheese stick in my hand. He's like, open. Both of them are handing me stuff. I'm like, seriously? And I was like, I am going to the bathroom.
Well,
you can ask me when I'm done.
That's why you lock them out, honey.
No, I'd rather them be in there and smiling than pounding on the door. I told you, Jackson gets so hurt. He's like, don't lock it. It's so, I would rather have them in there. But this time I was like, I am not doing things for you in my 5 minutes apiece. Not 5 minutes.
But you don't
30
have,
seconds apiece.
But you don't have peace because you let them in. Say no.
I know, but they usually just sit there. This time it was like, I am.
And that's weird.
Not crafting on the toilet.
That's weird. Weird.
Whatever. All moms do it.
The children will not be allowed. The only time I'm in the same bathroom as them if I had to take them to the public bathroom at Walmart. Anyway.
That's that story.
So, bathroom.
Cheese and tape.
So, Jay was sick this week. We didn't talk about this last week because we got her, got her in the doctor. So, apparently, she had one ear so plugged up with wax, it forced her other eardrum on the other side to rupture. So she had a ruptured eardrum, which became infected, and
we had no idea, because she did not ever act
it didn't,
sick.
She never acted sick, she didn't have a fever or anything, she never really complained, but for some reason, her hair would smell so nasty.
Because it's draining out of
and,
her ear.
And then we
it
found out her ear was draining, and it would get all this infected juice on her.
None of us wanted beer
on her hair. And so we took her in, and they found out ruptured eardrum was infected and got her on some medication. And so she's been on medication this whole week, and she's on the mend.
Right.
But so she was home for a couple days throughout the week. And So Crystal had an extra child at home.
Right. But what was hard is that she didn't feel sick.
Yeah, she was.
She just smelled bad.
Yeah.
But she didn't feel sick. And so, like, the first day she's like, can I put on my swimsuit and we can run in the sprinklers? I was like, Jay, no. Like, you. Oh, and she had strep throat, which we didn't know about.
Yes, she had strep throat.
It all
as well.
Went hand in hand. And I was like, you can't be running the sprinkler with a ruptured eardrum. She's like, ah.
Or be around the kids until your antibiotics kick in.
Right. So she was just bored. I'm like, you're sick. You're supposed to just sit on the couch and watch TV. But we actually didn't do much of that. They played a lot. But so Friday, a couple days ago, I had to take her to the doctor again to check on her ear.
Yeah, check up.
And we went to a new clinic that we'd never been before. And they have all these cool toys everywhere. Like, fun toys.
An actual children's clinic with toys?
Yeah. Small town. We don't have that around here. Anyway, so, but Jay is, like, crazy loving reading. So I was like, sweet. I can pack her a book. I'll pack me a book. And we'll sit side by side and read. But as soon as we get there and it's like,
there's toys. What?
Yeah. And so there's this table.
Magnetic table.
A little table that's magnetic. And you can put... It's the, you know how it's not the food pyramid anymore. It's the
food plate. Yeah.
Food plate or whatever it's called. Well, so this magnet table has the food plate, but it's all chopped up into pieces. And you have to move the wooden blocks to the shape of the plate.
Put them on the plate, yeah.
And Jay's like, Mom, will you help me with this? It's hard. And so I put my book down. Had a good mom moment.
Good job.
Sat down over the magnet table, and we worked on this for about 15 minutes. We're getting the last section of vegetables over onto the plate. I mean, it was challenging. It was hard to work those magnets. And this little three-year-old girl, she was off playing with puzzles, and then she came over to us, and she goes, my friends! And, I mean, it sounded like a little cartoon girl. She was so funny. My friends! And then she sat down with us. She's like, I want to play. She grabs a magnet, slaps it on the table, and goes, and messes it all up. And inside, I was like, what are you doing?
How dare you?
And Jay, who's our sweet kid, she just stops. She goes, I can't believe you just did that.
Nice.
And I was like, Jay, be nice. And she goes, she just ruined it. And part of me is like, yes, she did. I'm so mad. But anyway, I had to be the diplomatic parent. And was like, we have to be nice. And the little girl's like, my friends. So anyway.
You don't do that, friends.
And then we were not sad when that, and she was adorable, but when they took her away, Jay and I hurried and put the plate together. Right. We put the last little block right in the plate when they called us back. So.
You got it done.
We high-fived and. We were being really loud in there. There was this other thing where you could, like, race magnets through the sand, and we were bumper carring each other, and I'm loud. So, luckily, there weren't too many people around, but we were like, driving, and then we'd be like, oh, you got me!
You're just being a good mom.
Sometimes I wonder if people think I'm the mom, or if I'm, like...
The babysitter?
Or, you know, the teenage nanny.
Ooh, that's, teenage nanny, huh?
Oh, yes, because I, you know, hot nanny.
That's right.
But just sometimes I don't act like a parent, which I guess is good, maybe.
We act like a parent. We act like fun parents. We're not afraid to be silly with our kids in public.
I don't mind if I annoy everyone else around me.
That's right.
I'm gonna make those car noises.
That's right.
But anyway.
Make our kids happy.
That was the little girl. My friends! What movie is that? There's like a little girl like that in some movie.
I don't know.
That, anyway, it's funny.
But we had a couple family movie nights this week. Rented Redbox. First movie we watched was Ratchet and Clank.
You watched. I fell asleep.
You fell asleep. Not because you didn't want to watch it, but you were just tired. But it was super fun, and the kids really liked it so much that they said they wanted to buy it. But really fun movie based off of a video game.
That we've played
and have owned. And we're all big fans of the game. So it was really fun because they made tons of references to the game that only people that played the game would understand. And so Grayson would be like, he just said that. That's this from the game. And I'm like, yeah. And it was lots of fun. And then a couple days later, we watched Barbie Starlight Adventure.
And I loved it.
And
I love the new Barbie movies.
We like the new Barbie movies. They're fun. And
all of us like them, boys and girls.
They always have fun music in it. And so those are two movies that the clown car...
Rick's recommends.
Recommends that you could watch with your family. And both enjoyable, appropriate, and just good fun.
We actually have a bunch... We downloaded a bunch of the Barbie songs.
From previous movies, yeah.
I like their music.
Yeah, we have them on our fun mix that we have. That
actually, this new one, I was like, in my head as we're listening to it, I was like, ooh, I'm going to download these.
That's going to be our new fun mix.
And even at the end, our oldest son was like, we should get these songs for our next road trip. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, but also this week, we have been attacked.
By
mosquitoes.
Oh, I was like, what?
Mosquitoes are like everywhere because it's been really unusually wet around our area. And so mosquitoes have just been everywhere. So our kids, one day we were playing in the front yard of not our house, but a different house. And the grass was a little bit longer. And so they were just running around in the grass. And our girls were wearing shorts. Well, everyone was wearing shorts, pretty much. And then they walked out of the grass after, like, 10 minutes being in it. And each of them probably had, like, I don't know, half dozen or more mosquito bites.
Way more than half dozen.
Like, all over their legs. And
it was bad.
So for the whole week, we've been attacked by mosquitoes. Not just that day, but throughout the week. And so every evening and then some, we pull out the anti-itch cream and rub down our kids on every single mosquito bite they have, so they can actually...
Multiple times.
So they can actually relax and fall asleep. And our sweet little Jay, she tearing up her legs by scratching them so much.
She's ruined them.
And we're like, stop, you know, come get the anti-itch cream so you don't rip your legs up. And so...
Her legs are so scabby.
Yeah, so we need to... try to educate her to just, you know, we understand scratching it a little bit, but come and get the cream so you're not ripping your legs apart. So,
well, and I don't think you knew this, but this week before that, the police had come to the school and they they gave a presentation on the Zika virus.
Yeah, way to freak mosquitoes. Everyone out.
Yeah, and then our kids all get eaten alive, and then they're like, Mom, we just learned about the Zika virus.
Are we going to die?
So I had to say, don't worry. Yes, I mean, it's possible.
It's possible.
But there have been no cases of that anywhere in our area.
Yeah.
We have the mosquitoes that could possibly carry it. That's why they gave the presentation. But I told them, there will be things in your life that scare you, but that can't stop you from living your life. Like, you can't not go outside just because you might get bitten by a mosquito.
Yeah.
And so, I felt like, really? You had to give that presentation on the week that our kids get eaten alive.
I know, but it's just being safe.
I know.
Do you?
I know that.
Okay. That's it for me. I got nothing else.
Oh, the last thing was, tonight was adorable.
Oh, yeah.
Barry had Jackson has a little...
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about something else, but go ahead.
What were you thinking I was talking about?
Oh, just Lacey and her friend being cute.
Oh, no, that was adorable. Anyway, Jackson has this little sword from the Dollar Tree, this little silver sword, and I don't even know how it got started, but...
I was just being silly.
But Barry was pretending to, like... slash the ball.
Disembowel our children.
He was fighting and making, like, nasty sound effects. Anyway, he's attacking our two boys, you know, just going... That doesn't really mean anything on the microphone. But, and then Jay all of a sudden goes, Daddy, kill me! Kill me! I was like, aw, how sweet.
And so I was slashing and stabbing and brutalizing our children.
Yeah, and then they're like, watch my dying face. And they pretend to die. I'm like, this feels wrong.
It was fun. I had fun making sound effects.
It was hilarious, but I just thought it was funny. Kill me, Daddy!
So, and then they all dogpiled on me.
Yep.
Usually results. The end result.
Always ends that way.
If I'm even kneeling on the ground or something, it results to the kids all trying to wrestle with me.
I know. Anytime we lay on the ground, they jump on us. And then tonight, we had a picnic outside in our backyard, and the kids were all on the trampoline. And so Barry and I laid down on our backs, just chatting on the ground, and like 2 seconds later, everyone is on top of us.
Yeah.
I was like, even outside, the rule applies. Do not lay down.
Yeah. Unless you want to be wrestling, don't lay on the ground. But no. So overall, I mean, we had our adventures, but it was a pretty good week. But
minus all the sickness.
We have an article that we're going to talk about tonight that actually was sent to us by a friend of ours. Or we saw it.
I just read it.
We saw it posted on a friend of ours' Facebook page. And we're like, oh, that'd be perfect to talk about on the clown car. So the article is, this is probably one of the most up-to-date, like, or I should say recent articles, because this came out on September 13th this year. So, like, that was like 5 days ago. So that's pretty up to date for us. But it says, hey, teachers, please stop using behavior charts. Here's why.
And this is from PBS
NewsHour. By one of their journalists. So we are going to go over the article, and then we'll talk about the seven reasons why teachers should get rid of behavior charts, and then we're going to give you our opinions on this article, whether they're for or against certain things. So, anyway, honey, why don't you start us off by talking about this stuff right here.
This stuff that you guys can't see. Okay, so this lady is saying that her daughter went to school and they were doing the
behavior charts,
which all of our kids do.
All our kids have behavior charts.
From kindergarten to third grade, everyone has a behavior chart. Yeah. So I feel like we can talk about this.
We can not empathize, but we can understand what a behavior chart is to the fullest.
I think anyone can understand what a behavior
chart is. Oh, yeah?
Anyway, just giving you a hard time. So she's saying that this is an annoying, ubiquitous tool in modern classrooms today. And her, let's see. So she's saying that teachers have the hardest job, so they're trying to herd their high-maintenance kids into good behavior.
Yeah. But right? But basically saying that that's the only way that they have come up with to be able to regulate the behavior in their classrooms. And then she shares this a fellow parent, I imagine a friend or something like that, talks about how his daughter in kindergarten was first exposed to the color chart, and like right away she was noticing how, you know, people's, you know, other kids, you know, whether it was a color chart or a clip chart, she noticed that when people were docked or, you know, promoted or whatever. And we've noticed that too. Like, our kids will come home and they'll be like, so-and-so had to pull their clip today, because they understand that child got in trouble and they can relate to that. But the thing about this is, he was talking about their child was getting upset.
5-year-old.
And then they said the daughter came home and told her parents.
Wait, you have to say she got her clip pulled.
Oh, so she finally went from a green down to a yellow. So obviously she did something in class that made her had to go to a lower color. And then apparently she came home that day and told her parents that she wanted to kill herself.
At five.
So right away, to me, that's kind of a red flag, not necessarily on the behavior chart, but maybe there's something else going on there. Like, behavioral-wise, you know, maybe in her brain.
Emotionally, she might need some help.
I'm like, 5-year-olds don't come home and say they want to kill themselves for having their clip pulled.
Yeah.
Like, our kids have had, you know, their, you know, clips pulled down to a lower level, and sure, they get upset, and our oldest son, who's usually beats up himself a lot, you know, he's always, he gets, like, sad and down, but he's never, ever said anything like that. I don't think that's not normal behavior for a kid
either.
Being upset. So, person, you should probably get that looked into.
But, so they're
just... But the point, I guess, she was trying to make is that this clip chart made her feel bad.
Right. It's...
The behavior chart.
Well, okay. So, she said, let's get rid of these altogether, and here's why.
Here's why. Here are 7 reasons why you should get rid of behavior charts. So, number one, they're demeaning. This part basically talks about how children are not animals, and animals are how you have to reward animals for good behavior because they have small brains and they can't think for themselves. I'm sure some veterinarians that read this probably upset about saying basically animals are dumb. But she was saying how kids can read, they can write, they reason and think highly complex thoughts. Okay. I just want to emphasize on what she says children are, because throughout this article, it really feels like she tends to like believe in the whole aspect of like, we should treat our children like equals, you know, not like, you know, I'm the parent, but I should still treat you like like basically like an adult. And I'm just like, no, they're a child. But okay, so she's talking about how children are really smart and they can think for themselves and that they're not animals and so they don't need rewarding. And so that's why behavior charts are demeaning, because you're demeaning. It says, in short, reward charts underestimate children's abilities and I would argue their humanity. Wow. So behavior charts make our children feel less human.
Like animals.
Like animals, because they're being rewarded for good behavior. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Okay,
sauce.
Whatever. I totally disagree with that. What, like, and I don't think rewarding for good behavior is bad. Hello? You are anyone that works full-time job, you are rewarded for good behavior. Whether it's bonuses or getting a raise every year, you are rewarded by
a paycheck.
Yeah, you are rewarded by the good hard work that you're doing. So if you have good behavior and you're doing a good job in class, there is nothing wrong with the boss or the teacher saying, hey, good job. Here's a reward for showing that you have done a good job.
Right. I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
And I think
giving rewards doesn't, whatever.
Right. And I think later on it says that rewards are, they don't work in the long run. I don't care. My kids love rewards. I'm not saying we reward them for every good thing. And we're not, I don't think we'll be the kind of people that when our kids bring home a good grade, we're going to pay them $100.
Yeah,
you know, how some people do.
We're not, I guess you could say, we're not enabling our children. So it's not like, oh, you know, you did this. Here, have money, have thing, but
I'm buying your love.
Yeah, but we're not doing that. But we also believe that if our children are behaving really well and like, you know what, you have been pretty awesome today. Let's go get an ice cream or something
right.
like that. I mean, we did that the other day. Our kids were being awesome, so we're like, hey.
No, they did all their chores. They did extra chores to help because we had company.
They did extra chores, and so for extra chores, they were paid for doing a job.
And so were we.
And so were we. You know, we gave them some ice cream. And I don't think that's a bad thing. Now,
but we're ruining them.
Listeners, you may disagree with us. And if you do, awesome. Tell us on Facebook. We'd love to have that conversation. But anyway, number 2.
I feel like there's so much more to talk about with rewards.
I know. But we can have a whole nother show about rewards. This is about behavior charts.
Okay, next one is they're shaming.
They're shaming. Now, okay, I could kind of agree a little bit with this. Right.
Well, like we said, our kids recognize. They'll come home and be like, so-and-so had to pull their clip today.
So,
but it's not like they're following them around at school saying, you had to pull your clip today, you know?
Well, and if they do, then someone should tell us, and then we'll take care of that.
Right, but, so behavior charts are not private, they're in public. So it's a reminder that your teacher thinks you are inadequate.
Wrong. That's not why teachers do it.
Humiliating kids should never be accepted, much less condoned in any school.
And that's not what they're trying to do. They're not trying to humiliate the child.
But I can't see how kids would take it that way.
Yes, I can agree with that. Kids could take it that way, and other kids could see it that way, so that could give it a negative thing. But she's basically, she's not saying that. She's saying that teachers are trying to make their children feel bad by having a behavior chart.
And here's my thing. I think behavior chart is maybe the wrong word to say, because to me, the way it's set up at our school is it's kind of like showing you that you are breaking your agreement with your teacher. So it's kind of showing you, like, you chose this. It's not saying, I think you're bad, but you are breaking the rules that you agreed to follow.
Here are the rules, and if you break a rule, there are consequences for breaking a rule.
Right, so I think...
That's life, people.
I think it's not showing, oh, you're a bad kid, and I think you're bad, but it's saying... It's all self, like, what's the word?
Reflect?
No.
No?
Like, it's self-accountability.
Yeah.
Really, because the teacher has you pull your clip, but you're seeing that you broke the rule, and so you have to pay the consequence. And that is a life lesson that everyone should know. If you speed, you're going to get a ticket.
Yeah.
If you shoplift, you might go to jail.
Yeah.
We're going to say you do go to jail for the sake of this argument, but... I'm just saying that this is something that you deal with your whole life. It's not just being pointed out that you're a bad person.
Yeah.
Next.
All right. Number three. They make teachers a figure of judgment, not empathy.
Can you tell we're really biased with this one?
We kind of agreed with the last one. Treating behavior as good or bad is part of an antiquated paradigm that doesn't take into consideration a child's temperament, developmental stage, or emotional needs. When a child disrupts a class in some way, there is a reason for that. Maybe the kid is hungry or didn't get enough sleep. Maybe the kid is being left. You know, she goes on and on. Maybe this and that and that. Okay, this is where I feel the author kind of contradicts herself.
Okay.
Okay, previously in the previous one, she's like, children are smart and can think for themselves.
Highly complex.
They can think highly complex thoughts. Okay. If a child can think, do all those things, and I'm not saying they can't, don't get me wrong, people, children can have great, complex thoughts. But if you can think those things, and if you're hungry or tired, then your thought process shouldn't be like, I'm going to act out, I'm going to do this, because this is showing them that I'm, that's what babies do, all right? Right?
So what are you saying?
I'm saying that she's contradicting herself because she's saying children should be able to have complex thoughts. But then the next section, she's like, oh, but, you know. But they're just kids.
She said they're suffering from a little thing called just being a kid.
Exactly. Okay, well.
But they're not acting like babies.
Well, okay. But my thing is that if they are, if she's putting them on this pedestal about being, complex thinkers. Then they should think through that instead of acting out.
Right.
They
should be like, she is, yeah, should be seeing it.
Yeah. So instead of acting out, the child should be like, okay, I'm hungry. I understand.
Perhaps I should ask the teacher for a snack.
Or be like, oh, I'm hungry. And I realize that, then I will, just
simmer down now.
Just basically grin and bear it type of thing.
Right.
But I agree that kids are just kids. They're going to act out, and they're going to be kind of crazy, and I don't know.
You know what might help that? Rewards.
Oh, burn!
I'm just saying. And is this the... Oh, no, sorry. I thought this was the same one.
No.
Anyway, keep going.
But just So it's just basically saying that teachers should be more empathetic towards kids because they're just being kids. And if they're acting out, there may be more to it than them just acting out. You know what? I think teachers understand that. I think they're kind of trained for that in school, understanding that kids are going to act certain ways, maybe if they are tired and hungry like that. You know,
not all teachers are good, though.
No, not all teachers are good. But she talks about how teachers should be praised for the job they're doing, and I agree with that. But then she's also like making it seem like teachers don't understand how kids act.
Right. Well, and here's the thing: we all know the education system is bust. It stinks.
It's not as good as it should be.
No, and they're shoving as many kids as they can into a classroom.
Yeah, like this year our kids like. There's like almost 30 students in our kids' classrooms.
So you want to give this, expect teachers to go around and get to know every kid's
issues.
Yeah. Either issues kind of thing. Like they said, maybe kids being left out on the playground, maybe they're having a hard time at home. Maybe they have learning disabilities. Now, it's great for a teacher to recognize that. I think that's important.
Yes.
What I'm saying is, they don't have time to do it because the school systems are broken.
Well, and not only do they not have the time because they have so many students, but the way that the schooling is nowadays, it's only focused on, you know, test, 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 test. And so teachers are so worried about that because a lot of times their jobs depend on their children testing well.
Mm-hmm.
And so like Crystal said, the system is kind of broken and it needs to be fixed. But I also think that, you know, so at the end of that section, she's like, so let's not be too judgy, right? Okay, let's not be too judgy about the teachers either.
Right. Well, it all boils down to if you have problems, just homeschool.
There you go.
Anyway, the next one is they encourage extrinsic motivation and corrode self-esteem. So this one is saying that instead of, I just lost my thought, sorry, that you're showing kids that what matters is what you get from the teacher instead of what the child gets from themselves.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if the child's proud of herself for keeping her impulse control issues in check that day. What matters is what the teacher thinks. So what she's saying is they're viewing the behavior chart as the what their teacher thinks.
What the teacher really thinks about them.
Yeah, and that's what's important to their self-esteem is outward approval instead of inward approval.
And I could kind of agree with that too. I could see how kids could think that, be like, oh, my teacher doesn't like me, so that's why they made me pull my, you know, clip down.
I guess for me, I've been in my kids' classes when kids misbehave, and it's not like the teacher is like, oh, little JoJo, you were naughty again, go pull your clip.
Yeah.
But they'll just be like, oh, you messed up. No, they don't even say that. They're like, you need to go pull your clip.
Well, and like it said earlier, like, they're letting the child know, you broke the rules, here's the consequence.
Right. I don't know. I don't think that ruins your self-esteem.
Yeah.
And she even compares this to the days when you had to sit in the corner with a dunce hat or get whipped in your knuckles by
a ruler.
Yeah. To me, I don't know any older people that have been permanently scarred from any of that.
Yeah.
Like, my parents don't.
I know a lot
have issues from their teachers.
Well, I know, like, grandparents and older people that are like, they should whip kids.
Right. I know. It's true. They believe in that. So, I don't know. I think...
Not that we're promoting that, people.
We might be a little bit.
we're just saying that, you know, maybe these things aren't going to mess up our children.
I know. We always think everything's going to mess up our kids.
But you know what? In the long run, our kids
are going to be messed up anyway.
They're going to do something crazy. All right. So the next one is number 5. They're hypocritical. And essentially, this is saying, well, what if the teacher has a bad day and they lash out? The teacher should have a behavior chart too, so the kids can pull the teacher's clip. No! I'm an adult and I'm a teacher. Yes, I shouldn't snap at kids if I'm having a bad day. That's just being unprofessional as a professional.
Or a normal person.
Or a normal person. You know, you don't snap at especially children. But I don't find them hypocritical just because,
well,
I don't know.
If you behave poorly in class, you will get reprimanded by the principal.
Yeah, the principal.
Or the parents that call in.
Yeah,
like,
so you will have consequences,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, your behavior is going to be...
You could lose your job if you snap at your kids.
I'm just saying that there are consequences for teachers as well. But taking away their authority so kids can call them stinkers too is the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
Anarchy! Woo! But I have a friend who's a teacher, and she posted on Facebook about, she had this big thing about saying, if you can go 8 hours with your kids without ever snapping at them or ever losing your temper, then congratulations, you're perfect.
I know.
And you expect me to be like that too?
Like, I get home and I'm with my kids for like 4 hours and I snap at my kids. Like, it's just, it happens.
Well, we can improve.
Oh, there's always room for improvement. Don't get me wrong. So, number six.
They waste valuable class time. So this one, she's saying, you remember the days when your teacher would just slowly walk toward you while they're teaching? I remember that. And they just stand by you if you're misbehaving. Did you ever do that? And then they would just stand there and hover.
No, because I was a little angel.
Right. I remember this. I think this is effective too, because that's very intimidating to have your teacher just stand there.
Mm-hmm.
But then she said, when that happened, the child instinctively knew to settle down and the teacher didn't miss a beat. Now, contrast that with a class where a teacher is regularly interrupting her own teaching so she can tell her kids to make a trip to the behavior chart. First off, back in our day, classes weren't so big.
Yeah, we had like 15 kids in a classroom.
I'm just saying, that's my pedestal for the day, I guess, my soapbox. But
the system's broken.
I don't know. I don't think it takes that much class time. And well, some kids...
Well, and Crystal's, like she said, she's been in the classrooms, kind of like as a helper at times, and seen that happen. And how quickly does it take to say, so-and-so, you're you need to move your clip. Boom. 3 seconds. They get up and do it, and while they're getting up and doing it, you can continue your lesson.
Right, and... When Grayson was in first grade, he was in a very, very difficult class. There were some crazy kids in there, and they all responded to the behavior chart.
Yeah.
So I don't care if... Well, I just don't care what people say. It worked.
It works.
It's a good system to me. Not every kid is going to take it well.
Well, and granted, every system, and even ones that said author would want to incorporate, which there are no ideas in this article, but those ones would have issues too. No system is perfect. So, like, it's just, you gotta find what works for you. Kind of like what we say in the clown car every single episode. Find what works for you and your family, because you find what works and then you try to improve upon it, you know, and do it. Now, a lot of teachers, they find that the behavior chart works, and so that's what they use. So let them use it.
Right, and then the last, is this the last one?
Last one, yep.
The last one is they don't work. And I love how she's quoting someone from the 1960s, because parenting is the same as in the 60s.
Well, and then she goes on to quote someone else about how this person that wrote a book called Punished by Rewards, talking about how the long-term goal of helping kids grow into responsible and caring people rather than the short-term goal of obedience. When faced with a misbehaving kid, the question he asks is, what do kids need and how can we meet those needs? So basically, his whole book is talking about how rewards are detrimental rather than helpful.
Now, I think there's a difference between just rewarding your kid and...
And enabling your child and giving them everything they want.
Okay, that's not where I was going.
Oh.
But with rewards, you need to add in the love languages. You need to compliment them and build up their self-esteem. I wonder if the point of the rewards is that you're not...
That's all you're doing?
Yeah,
is like,
you're not giving, like...
Like words of affirmation
Words of affirmation, that's the word I'm thinking. Words of affirmation or filling their love tank, I guess, is the problem. So I think they're viewing rewards as a very...
Because with a reward, you could be like, be like, you know what, you did such a good job on your spelling test. You did this and this great, so you know what, why don't you go get a prize out of the prize bucket? So that way, you're telling them how great they are, but then, yeah, they get a prize too.
So, I don't know. To me, I love rewards. I love getting rewards. So, whatever. I don't know. What do you think? Obviously, we are for behavior charts because we haven't had a bad experience with them yet. Maybe if our kids took it hard, we would view it differently.
Maybe. I guess that is true. But like I said, if your five-year-old is threatening to kill themselves, then you should have that checked out. But she ends the article by saying, teaching is hard. Thankless job, and most teachers deserve to be sainted for patience they show their students. I have nothing but admiration for the vast majority of them, but, like a swat on the hand, the kind of behavior charts in most classrooms are antiquated and hurtful, and they need to go.
So now we want to know, what are your thoughts about behavior charts? We obviously gave ours, but are they antiquated, hurtful, and do they need to go?
And something that we always find interesting, and this is just us, this is our opinion, but several psychologists and parenting professionals, and obviously this parenting blogger right here, we're always interested, how many kids do they have, and what's their situation, and stuff like that, because, you know what? When you have more kids, your outlooks on things change a lot. Whereas, this said author only has one child, single child, that's it. And there's nothing wrong with that, don't get me wrong, people. If that's your cup of tea, that's awesome. But, you know, we handle four kids, and the point I'm trying to make is we handle four kids, and it can get kind of crazy. A teacher is handling nowadays 20 plus children, mm-hmm. or more, like probably closer to 25 plus children, 8 hours a day. So I think you need to be a little bit more empathetic towards the teachers.
Or come up with that perfect solution.
Yeah, or come up with something.
Which isn't suggested in here.
Yeah, and come up with something and offer it to them politely, of course. And then see if that can work, rather than just telling them what they're doing is wrong. Because every professional likes to be told that they're doing their job wrong. Anyway, so that's it. Thank you for listening to The Clown Car. Parenting is hard, and we believe you should get a gold star just for trying.
Just remember, our way is not the only way. Find what works for you. You are doing a good job.
You can follow us and share your thoughts on all our social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and email us at theclowncarshow@gmail.com. And make sure you subscribe,
rate,
and review our show on iTunes. And until next time, enjoy your circus.
You've been listening to a Closet Geek Studios production. For all information about Closet Geek Studios, visit theclosetgeek.net for all your geeky needs, or follow us on Twitter and Facebook.